What's good, people? Long time no see, man. Welcome to the new year. This is the first podcast of the new year of this lovely Wednesday in January of 2022. So, first of all, a round of applause for everyone that made it into this year, given the circumstances of this pandemic and, you know, just life in general. So, give you a round of applause for this stuff. That's what I'm talking about. Shout out to my motherfucking people. We out here doing the goddamn thing, man. Once again, it's your boy, Nappy Nick, man. Please subscribe to this podcast on all platforms. I want to start with that. Let me catch you up, man. It's been a little minute since I've been on this. Done the episode, at least. I've been busy. Been back in school. School started for me Monday. Yay, yay. I'm in that cybersecurity program at Trident Technical College. So I'm halfway, not halfway, I'm kind of like almost halfway there through. I got about a year left. So if everything goes well, which hopefully it should. I guess I'm going to give you a little quick rundown of this podcast episode today. I'm going to be running three highlights today. We're going to talk about the Throat Goat. That's my White Person Wednesday nomination of the week. that's gonna be a fun topic. This is back from December, so I'm actually not current with it, but we're still gonna talk about it because it's still definitely interesting. In addition to that, we're gonna hit on gerrymandering a little bit, let them know what's going on with that in the state of South Carolina, and we're gonna end everything on what everybody else has a common interest with, and that's the student loan crisis, and actually a pretty good book that I've read. Now, I was going to do this episode last month, but I postponed because I wanted to fully read the book. I was only halfway through it. So I finally got around to doing that. So we're going to hit on that for a little bit. That'd be the cap on that. Once again, you can catch this podcast on all major platforms, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or whatever podcast platform. Please subscribe us because I need the votes. I'm going to keep that 5-star rating, especially on Apple. I think Spotify is about to have a rating system. So if you listen to this and you like what you're hearing, please go leave that 5-star review and holler at your boy. I'm trying to move up rankings. One of my goals. I have a couple goals for this podcast this year. Since you know it's new year, everybody has a New Year's resolution. My New Year's resolution, and I've shared this with like my inner circle. Want this podcast to be higher ranking society and culture, which is what I am grouping on all the charts on Apple and Spotify. At least I want to be top 100. That's my goal on the national brand. So for me to get to that point, I got to put some work in. So that's what my goal, and that's what I'm going to do. I have recently incorporated starting DJing, like truly DJing. I was for the ones that know, I hosted karaoke. I still host karaoke at Mint on Tuesdays, but I actually got me a controller and started practicing. Hopefully I can get around and get some spots around Charleston. So if you're listening to this, you need a DJ. Rookie DJ, holler at your boy. I get you there. I'm at least energy. Get you energized. And with that being said, you know, if you want to come out, do some karaoke, man, holler at your boy. Every Tuesday at Mint Charleston. Party starts at 9. Got done last night. Was rocking last night. We had a swarm of college kids come in. And just, you know, just a fun fact for the college kids, you know, whoever's the promoter, whoever led the charge, you know, just holler at your boy. You know, shoot me a text or something if you're going to bring 200 people to a bar. So we can make sure we, you know, we're staff up for it and make sure we can serve you the best way possible. With that being said, this is year two of the pandemic. We're going through it. So far in this, I've tested negative in every COVID test I've taken. So knock on the wood with that motherfucker. Once again, Nappy's been going 600 days strong. About COVID, so let me get around pause for that. That's what I'm talking about. It's your boy. We out you, dog. but we're gonna go to her white. It's Wednesday, no, January 12th. So if it's gonna be a Wednesday, we gotta talk about the goat. Goat Wednesdays, man. White people Wednesdays, man. I guess I need to explain white people Wednesdays because I got crucified for racism, which I don't believe it's not. It's not. And if you do believe it, then I'm open to have a discussion with them on this podcast. Because, you know, I'm here for the people. Service before self. But I'll highlight some key white moments in history that has impacted others without, you know. And these are things that are, like, kind of random. Like, you know, it's not something people would know about, unless you know about, or something like a highlight through a TikTok or social media version. And this was very hilarious, given who it is and who she was the husband of a pretty political figure that was, you could say, kind of started the demise of African Americans and anyone of minority race, including Latinos and Asians and so on. So, and this is Nancy Reagan, the third motherfucking goat. And this is pretty funny how this happened. So Abby Shapiro, who is Ben Shapiro, was a very conservative, I guess, blogger. I don't really know what his position is. He's not like politically into the reviewer, maybe. I don't know. But this is his younger sister, I believe is 21, if I read that correctly. Make sure I have this right. Yep, 21. She has this, her following on social media, and she's a huge, I guess, a conservative influencer is the keyword. Where she's, I guess, kind of posts how conservative women should handle themselves in society and their culture and stuff. And so, you know, more power to her. And she can live her life how she sees fit. Who am I to judge that? But she got some flack. Listening, you know, freedom of speech doesn't mean it's not freedom of criticism. And she posted a, I think it was on Twitter originally, a picture comparing Madonna, who was at the time, I think 63, I think Nirvana, not Nirvana, Madonna posted a picture of her, kind of like edgy pictures, but you know Madonna's going to live her life, you know, stuff like that. And next to her was who Abby chose was Nancy Reagan. And as kind of like formal real dress and stuff, and you know, and Twitter's going Twitter, right? So if you go through the Twitter feed and stuff, you see that people went in on Abby and like the whole entire post saying that well, Nancy was, you know, at the time she was before she was the first lady of the United States. But Ronald Reagan being her husband, she was a actor too. Who Ronald Reagan was an actor. He was like one of the first, I guess, one of the only two actors, I guess, technically, to be president of the United States, other than being Donald Trump. I guess technically an actor. I don't know, classify that. And before that, before she was, you know, the first lady, she worked with MGM, and she was very well known for being very good at oral sex. Some fellatio, stuff like that. And I start championing her as the throat goat. I find that hilarious. And people find this hilarious because, you know, Ronald Reagan, for the listeners that aren't informed about this, started the war on drugs back in the late 60s, early 70s. And that, you know, transpired and grew up, especially in the 80s, started in 74, not late 60s, 74, I think it was 74 was that passed, and then it grew into it, and then there was a crime bill that, you know, our current president, Joe Biden, was sponsoring, and I'm going to get into that right now. But, you know, the big war on drugs, just say no, was kind of like her big thing, stuff like that. Why should you say this? She was like, you know, before she got to that point, she was out there just, you know, going casually to offices and shit, and, you know, just giving like a mid-afternoon blowjob, you know, to executives and stuff, you know, to a point, you know, it got well known. Like, hey, just say yes, Nancy. And she on the way, you know. And I'm like, you know, who? I'm not gonna critique, you know, everyone has the right to live a life, you know, shit. And for her, you know, it worked out to her favor that she became the first lady in the White House. So to me, you know, shit. She must have been hella good. I mean, like, so once again, let's give a round of applause for Nancy Reagan making it to the motherfucking top. Oh, but ouchie, girl. She ouchie, dog. and there's a lot of backlash. The main backlash of the post was that, you know, who are ours critique? Because people were saying, well, Madonna, who's, her following her career, she's kind of been on the edge and stuff. And she's pretty much just, you know, chase dick everywhere, no giving. No, I remember the time she tried to kiss Drake and Drake almost threw up. Or she did kiss Drake and Drake threw up. was gag or something. That was hilarious. But old Nancy over there, man, just out there. So, I mean, you know, she can't really defend herself now. But, you know, that's funny, man. It's just, it's like, you know, it's kind of just a knock on, like, and this is what I have a personal problem with conservative people, because, you know, you try to highlight yourself as one and stuff. Now, at the end of the day, to me, it's none of our damn business if that's what Nancy did. You know, power to her. She worked her way up. But also, don't create a double standard. Don't say you're going to do this and do this, that, and go about and present yourself another way. And, you know, I think you go back and listen to Express Yourself, which Dr. Dre was part of NWA, his verse. He was highlighting how a lot of musicians at the time and would go in these commercials and stuff and follow with that war on drugs campaign and stuff, then be out there looking for the dope man after they get off stage. So it's like, you know, stay true to who you are. Don't, you know, stuff. And a lot of people don't do it, especially now with the social media age. Everybody's kind of like portraying, and no one fully is. It's rare to find someone that's like completely authentic all the time. Like Ice Cube is one of those people. Partying like recently, Cardi B. A lot of people are like, this is who she is and stuff. I mean, there's a lot of people that are. To some, like to a certain level of it, there's a level, so you're not gonna be 100% yourself. Everybody don't need to know everything about you, but you need to know you're authentic, and that's kind of like what you want to hit at with the Throat Goat. But that's all I gotta say. Shout out to the Throat Goat, old Nancy Reagan. We out you, girl. We support you. You know, there, you know, and shit. You know, if you're gonna do something, at least be good at, you know. And got her to the White House, man. So I can't really knock that, guys. Well, with that being said, guys, we'll transition to the next segment, going to a little bit gerrymandering. But I want you to check out this ad of the Holy City High. Hey! What's good, people? Back at here at the Holy City High. And we'll get to this, our next topic. This is gerrymandering. This has been a very controversial thing in American politics, and for most, and particularly with the state of South Carolina. Very bad. So kind of just understand from my listeners that don't know exactly what gerrymandering is. Essentially, the party that's in control restructuring or drawing district lines that makes voting for people that are voting in these district lines favorable to their party, essentially. So if I live in a district where it's all Republicans, I want to draw everybody in this kind of same in this district line to represent my voting interests, which, you know, vote Republicans for the most part. And you know, in South Carolina, there's 7 districts. Given that South Carolina's grown over the years, the extra district we got back in 2010 census. And this is the important part of the census for a lot of people don't listen. This is why you should do it, because it's affects your congressional seating and stuff. I mean, especially in the state of South Carolina that's growing. So, with the foresight that it's growing, you're going to be adding seats to the state and these districts. Well, the problem with the issue that people have right now is that mainly, I believe it's the 6th and the 7th. Make sure I got that right. Districts, yeah. Mainly, especially Nancy's May 7th district, which is most of this is involving Charleston County and Beaufort County and stuff. But it's the messed up part about it is that if you look at a map, and I'm probably gonna post one on Instagram and social media so you can kind of observe what's going on. And just give in mind that right now, like, there's legal processes that people are pressed against. This is just for the House, not for the Senate, and even the Senate lines is getting a lot of questions right now too. But that's not due for a couple years. But these houses are coming up here, I think next year or this year, coming up for the voting. So people want to have them ready. But the biggest problem is, so Jim Clyburn's district, which is the majority black district in the state of South Carolina, which includes, if you see how it's drawn, and this one key note about these districts being drawn is that now, the population has to be equal in every district amongst the state. It has to be equal in all districts. So that's why you see some are smaller and some are larger, based on the population density in each district. So Clyburn's appeals pretty large because, you know, those counties that cover this area. And it's a very sparse area. It goes from Pyrmont, Charleston, covering parts of Florence County, Orangeburg, Clarendon, Lee, Sumter, and parts of Richland County, including Columbia. And the biggest problem with it is, like a lot of people are saying that, is that it included North Charleston. Now, if you know the layout of Charleston, that you know that if you come down 26, you're going to have Somerville on the right of 26, or the left, however you, if you're looking at a map, it would be the left, essentially. I guess it would be the right, I don't know. You get what I'm saying. You got Somerville on one side, you got Goose Creek, then you got North Charleston. If you know North Charleston's one of the largest black cities in America, that's majority black. And I think the majority is like 64-65%. But to include North Charleston in the majority black district, they went out their way to kind of draw a path, incorporate just North Charleston, while every other city in Charleston County is part of Nancy Mace's district, which is the truly, which was including like Hilton Head, Beaufort County, Hilton Head, Beaufort, you know, Kiowa, Seabrook, Mount Pleasant, downtown, James Island, you know, areas and stuff. So they can have one massive black district, which would be Democratic, while the other six districts would be traditionally Republican, so they can keep the voting power in the state red. And it's kind of messed up, which a lot of people say if you do it equally and have North Charleston be part of the Charleston County and parts of Beaufort District and stuff and stuff, it would still probably be red, but it would be closer to 50-50. And that's kind of like what gerrymandering is. It's just like, you know, having that favoritism. So like when you have votes and stuff, you know if you want to be a server, if you have a piece of legislation that conservative voters will want more so than the liberal, it would go more to the conservative side. Even though Charleston itself is becoming a more of a liberal city, this area is still predominantly conservative, at least for the time being. That's slowly changing over the years, and Columbia is the same way. Even though Clyburn's district is part more liberal, even though there's a lot of conservative thoughts, but I go down that road another day. Either way, it's fucked up. And South Carolina's been doing this for, you know, generations, man. This isn't just like decades. It's an issue in the state, a massive issue in the state. And I'm just glad that, you know, this is kind of like the importance of social media, that you can highlight it, you can bring awareness to it. And people like me that are doing this podcast and talking about it and kind of educate the people that aren't knowledgeable about it or aren't aware of it. You know, it can take this information and process it and do what you want with it, please, you know. And maybe encourage you to, like, go to your city hall meetings or local councilmen and talk to them, like, we don't approve of this, and let it get up to, you know, the House representatives or the senators of the state and let them know, like, we're tired of this process. You know, that's kind of where we, especially in my generation, and I'm a millennial, and us the younger people with Gen Z, you know, part of baby, I guess Gen X a little bit, is that we don't do enough of, you know, going to these important meetings to make sure things are getting done as we see fit, and not just assuming that the people in power are doing what the public's asking. But that's just like a short kind of exponential gerrymandering. Please look it up. Please look into it. It's reported all over the news, Live 5, Post and Courier. City Papers talks about it. It's just important, guys. It's very thing, and it's actually very flawed and very fucked up. And we need to start holding people accountable who are doing these things to halt progression in the state. But with that being said, I'm gonna transition to our next topic, which will be talking about the student loan crisis. Nappy, we going? Hey guys, welcome back. So our next topic, we're going to transition to something that's affecting probably majority of my generation, definitely younger generation, and even some of the older generations, at least over the last 50 years, 50, 60 years, and that's the student debt. Student debt crisis, well, it's definitely a crisis. It's the largest debt burden in America, second largest in America after the housing, at $1.6 trillion. Let me say that one more again. $1.6 trillion. Trillion motherfucking dollars. And kind of the biggest thing I guess people need to understand is how did this happen or why does it get so bad? Well, I came across, I was listening to another podcast, Ryan Rizzillo's podcast on the Ringer Network. And traditionally, it's a sports podcast, but he does talk about like life things or things like that that are important to society. And this is one of them. And this is all based through a book, which is actually an amazing book. And I was actually published, like I published a post about the book back in December where I was going to do a podcast, but I weighed it off because I want to reread it and go through, make sure I have all my details and stuff right. So I weighed it a little bit. But the book is called The Debt Trap, How the Student Loans Become a Catastrophe, by Josh Mitchell, who is a New York Times reporter. And just kind of like highlights, essentially, I'm not going to tell every detail, but I'm just highlight some of the big things in this book. But definitely check it out. Maybe do it on Amazon Kindle or so be it, whatever. But it's kind of like it just explains, essentially, why we have student loans issue that we do have, how it originated, how was this, the system was so fucked from the beginning. Even though the student loan was originally, it was kind of like it was a noble idea by originally Lyndon B. Johnson, that became something way more special once Wall Street got involved with it. The number one thing that set this off was the was back in the Cold War, and this was the race to the moon, essentially the space race, and this is when Russia put a satellite into orbit first, the Sputnik, and that's when America realized that our citizens need to be more educated, and because education wasn't as highly valued, it wasn't really necessary unless, you know, really if you had the wealth for it, you could do it, even though going to college back then was a lot cheaper. Lyndon B. Johnson credits that, you know, he got a donation, and this is crazy, of $100 to go to school for 4 years. If he didn't get that donation, he wouldn't be able to go to school and wouldn't be able to become the president of the United States the way he did. And it's a noble thing. Like, his ideal for it was very noble. Stuff. And like, and you know, during the 60s, which the 60s we call the original woke area, broke area decade, this is, it was just very known that we need to be more educated. And this is when technology arms and, you know, arms race with the then Soviet Union stuff. So the biggest problem with this is that they need to figure out a way to allow the everyday citizen to be able to afford college. This is where they screwed up that. And but they came up with this idea originally, was that the government couldn't give out loans directly. So what they did was they partnered with the banks and told the banks, give out these student loans. We are insured that these loans, like, we're going to be the creditor for these loans. And, you know, if they don't get paid, the responsibility would actually go to the taxpayer, not the individual or the school or the bank. And that's a very key note people need to be aware of. And that's still the same system for the most part today. I mean, it was a noble ideal, but, you know, they flawed. So the government created a company to be able to insure this process, kind of like the middleman. This company was Sallie Mae, that a lot of you are probably very familiar with it. And there's a lot of other loan companies in the Great Lakes, Nelnet, which became, I think, Nirvana or something. We got brought out to it. Now, when you focus on the fact that, no, the liability, like the banks or the schools don't have liability, the drawback of this was that, well, now we have so many people coming to college, now we need more funds and be able to handle it and stuff like that. So tuition went up, skyrocket. Well, banks was like, well, it doesn't matter to me. we need more money, so more loans were taken out. And with all this going on, you know, let's think about this. This is happening over 30, 40 years. Sally Mae, with no liability, no responsibility if someone defaults on a loan, was making 3.5% on every loan. So as those numbers grew, more money there was raking. Then, like, it became a private company. Investors came into it. And it's very high low. No, make sure I have this right. In the 80s, I believe. Yes. Albert Lord, who was a former head of Sallie Mae. This explosion in government lending, this is his quote. This explosion in government lending has left taxpayers at risk for more than $1 trillion, which allowing colleges to inflate the cost of higher education at the same rate that students rack up debt. Then even worse, as that going on, in the 90s, they approved, like Congress approved that these banks can charge these kids interest the moment they step in school, knowing that these kids were not able to repay it immediately. So you go 4 years, 5 years, 6 years of school, the entire time you have interest racking up without even having a job. And a job wasn't even guaranteed given like what major you were and stuff like that. So, you know, you're racking up hundreds of $20,000 of debt and half of its interest. You're not even paying the principal. And it's just that and this cycle went on, man. There was like one point where where they had lobbyists. That a lobbyist and the head of higher education council on the Senate were hooking up, and they were protecting like Sallie Mae and all these other loan companies from Congress, just in case, you know, because people saw this happening and were trying to make noise, and that guy's responsibility. God, I wish I had his name. I thought he had his name. Look back into it. His job was to protect the company and kind of like. This is a senator, too. I think it was a senator out of Michigan. I think Bill Ford was his name. Double check. He was a senator out of Michigan, and his goal was to protect these companies from, or not companies, from any other congressmen from highlighting what was going on and to keep it quiet or not at least make it national news. Stuff like that. He did a very, really good job of that, and this has kept going to this day. This is why we have... argument, and it's a good argument, and like, you know, I've seen little memes and stuff saying that, well, you know, you take a loan now, you should pay it. But I was just like, you know, one key note about student loans is that you cannot claim bankruptcy with it. Like, you know, your that debt follows you. It's there forever. Like, you can't do nothing with it. So, you know, it's like crazy. I see so many of my friends, you know, get a degree, then have to go back to school to get something else because they can't make money in the degree again. A lot of us, like, you know, who many of these degrees, there's just not enough jobs, at least not more significant. Then you add in the fact of inflation going up, everything's getting more expensive naturally, especially in the last couple of years. It's just like, what's the end goal? And like, fortunately for me, I didn't have to, like, I have student loan debt, but it's not at the crisis. Like, I remember one of my buddies, he got an engineering degree, electrical engineering degree from Clemson. And his debt is around like $165,000. That's fucking ridiculous. It's like, you know, and this is kind of like the flaw of America. It's like now you're just like, you're making like education so expensive. You're going to have shortages. You have shortages of doctors. You have shortages of engineers. You have a shortage of IT people. Across the whole spectrum because it's so expensive. And now tech is a little different because now, you know, in tech there's things called certifications where you can get these to prove that you're knowledgeable of the skill. So you kind of can work your way around a degree, but some of these other professions, that's not the case. And even in tech, at some point you can only go so far without having a degree, or at least you can get to a job and the company will probably pay for the degree. And it's getting ridiculous. It's like, you know, what's going to happen? What's going to become of it? Joe Biden made a massive plead on his presidential run about addressing student loans, and he's done a little, but nowhere near to the hype that people expected once he got in office. And like every politician, I don't know why people should expect anything different from him, who was a career politician. He's been in Congress for over 40 years, which is also ridiculous in itself. Look, man, whatever is the right answer to address this needs to happen soon, because what it is now is not good. Should I believe that college should be free? I'm not totally for it being complete free, but I feel like schools need to have more responsibility of the burden and not just solely on the student and the taxpayer. I think that's the massive issue with the process right now. Before student loans became like a real big thing, you know, your lender was the college back in like the 20s, the 30s, and the 40s, or like early on. So like, you know, and you look at those numbers for default rate was so low compared to what they are now. I believe default rate right now is around 40. I don't know. So it was like 47%. And if you actually include deferments and forbearance of loans, that number jumps up to about 80. Just imagine 80% of student loan debt is either defaulted or deferred. That's the student loan crisis in a nutshell right there. And these are with people that are not even, a lot of these people don't even have the degree. And they don't have the means to pay off. What's the fix? There's plenty of people that make a lot of money to figure that out. So hopefully there's a resolution here soon. With that being said, this is the end of this podcast. I appreciate you guys listening. If you like it, please give me those 5 stars on especially Apple Podcasts. But, you know, Spotify, I believe they have a rating system or about to have a rating system. So if that's available, please do it on that. Once again, follow me on all the social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. I'm there, out there. This is your boy Nappy Nick, and we are out, your dog. Nappy out.